My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Our Lord God, of our Holy Spirit revelation on this day of Pentecost, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is an important day in our Christian calendar because Easter is completed at Pentecost. I once told you it was important to read Scripture for a few verses before and after what we read here in church. And you'll notice that in John chapter 14, our Scripture, verse 18, only one more verse after what the lectionary calls for, which is 8 to 17. In verse 18, here, I think, lies the key to why Pentecost matters. Because without Pentecost, Easter means that the departure of Christ, leaving behind the confused and uncertain disciples, they can do no better than return to fishing on the Sea of Galilee. Without Pentecost, Jesus' promise to not leave his disciples orphaned in this world is kept. With Pentecost, Jesus' promise not to leave his disciples orphaned in this world is kept. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I think that gospel passage should have been included and read this day. But now you got it too. Okay. One more thing I think we should keep in mind for today is that trying to describe and define the Holy Spirit, it's like trying to define and describe God. There are so many aspects to the Holy Spirit, just like there are so many aspects to God that can be seen depending on the scripture we're reading. And so for our purposes today, the Holy Spirit's presence and work in our church is, well, it's very well described by Paul in terms of spiritual gifts, like in Corinthians. It's described by Luke in terms of unity and diversity, but what we're looking at right here in the Gospel of John is the one teaching on the Spirit, the Gospel of John. Teaches most. One that is specific to Jesus, and as a result is associated with Jesus. The Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism in John's gospel, we are told, right? The dove came down, and we're told at that time that Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. But it's not the human Jesus who does this. It's not until Jesus has passed through the resurrection and ascension and is glorified, that the Spirit is sent upon the church. What we read occurs in the context of shocked and sad disciples today. They ask real questions that break our hearts too. Lord, where are you going? Can we come with you? Well, wait, will we ever be together again? Lord, just show us God and we'll be satisfied. This request of Philip's, I think, reflects two things at the heart of the Gospel of John. First, Philip voices what our hearts long for in times of anxiety, uncertainty, and fear. This God who no one's ever seen, but who also must be known in order for eternal life to be real to all of us. And second, Philip asks Jesus to show that God. Jesus tells him what we learn in the first chapter of this gospel. You remember that? We read this at Christmas. The Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. As Jesus promises in another checklist, three things to help soothe their pain. We love checklists, don't we? Jesus gives them three things that will help soothe their pain. That they're going to continue Jesus' works, sure, but they'll also do greater works. That they'll be heard and their prayers are answered to meet the needs involved in their life and mission. And last, that they'll be accompanied in their life and mission in this world by another counselor and helper, the Spirit of Truth. Now, unlike Jesus, this Holy Spirit's going to be with them forever, residing in their hearts and reminding them of things. The Holy Spirit is not just counselor and helper, it's also a teacher and reminder. Now, the Spirit that Jesus speaks of here is one that is given to all people. We should know that the Spirit here that Jesus speaks of is not a personal thing that can be hoarded or interpreted by me and not you. The Spirit is for the benefit of everyone, to tie us to the teachings of Jesus, not to make Jesus that part of the Trinity that channels the Father and has a big S on his chest, and to make it so that he is all that matters. We don't do that here. But if you want that kind of faith, come see me. And I'll give you some directions, some folks who will be happy to grow your faith in that way. The Spirit is for the benefit of everyone, but not to make Jesus into Superman. Make us understand the Word that became flesh, and to help us to understand that that presence, those teachings, that suffering, that nonviolent death is worth paying attention to. And worthy of our emulation and worship. Pentecost's gift of the Spirit is to the church. When the scripture says you, it really means you all, or all of you all the time. All y'all, right? But we're human, aren't we? We want to pray for what we want, the ways we want it, as if saying Jesus often enough or loud enough is like rubbing a lucky rabbit's foot. When we pray together, though, praying in and with the Spirit of God, we can see more clarity of purpose, means, and ends when we tell God what's on our minds and hearts. We're invited to ask to have the Red Sea part if that's what's needed by the church to love and serve God. The big prayers here are not the safe ones that'll come true anyway. They're the things that can change whole community's purpose. Maybe we need to start praying for the big things. I'll leave you with this final thought. About a month ago, we had a session with our church leadership to discern where the Spirit's leading during my brief time here as your pastor and teacher. We need to do some new things, but informed by the Spirit. If the Spirit in the Church of God is of God, and spirits have to be tested, right? 1 John says that. It says, friends, don't believe every spirit, but test spirits to see if they're from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. So if the Spirit in the church is of God, It's not going to lead us away from our historical Jesus, but it should tie the church by instruction and memory to Jesus. We have a long history and memory here that we need to tap into to remember. And our Christian faith has a memory. And to be a Christian is to be enrolled in that great unity of our Christian faith with our congregational church tradition right here in Greenland, right here at Community Congregational Church. There's a great unity with God and love and faith and Christ and knowing that the Spirit's going to set us free. Free to find out how this holy place and these holy people want to start building back the kingdom of God. And for that, thanks be to God. Amen.